This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by the brand new film, Marching Powder. If you like comedy, football, banter, brawls, and Danny Dyer, then Marching Powder should be the absolute top of your watch list when it lands only in cinemas on March the 7th. Directed by the acclaimed Nick Love, from Football Factory fame, Dyer stars as Jack, an aging football hooligan who is trying to juggle his marriage, his mate, his drug addiction, and the pull of his gang of fellow football fans. I've seen the trailer, guys. It looks absolutely brilliant. It's given me a proper nostalgia from football in the 90s and noughties. And I mean, I just love Danny Dyer. This is definitely not one to be missed, so make sure you get your mates together, get your tickets, and go and see it on March the 7th. Marching Powder, a rom-com with a kick, only in cinemas, March 7th.
How are we doing? We ready to go?
I'll put you some breakfast.
Oh, absolutely.
I ain't saying I'm the hardest market trader.
Right, should we crack on, mate?
Yes, let's do this.
Let's do it, okay. How we doing, you lovely, lovely people? Lovely people. Now, this is the Men's Room Podcast with me, Tom Skinner, and him over there, the 17th hardest footballer, the legend that is Mr. Neil Razor Ruddock. Now, we're back for a third season. Can you believe it? We must be doing something right. What's all this about? They let us back on here, by the way.
I know, we're legends.
We're legends.
Talk sport need a couple of legends.
Yeah, and we're here. As a reminder, that you can hear the whole back catalogue of the Men's Room by downloading the Talk Sport app, clicking on podcasts, and you'll find them all right there. Alternatively, you can get us wherever you get your podcasts. Right, should we crack on, mate?
Yeah, let's just do this.
Let's do it. Okay. Hello, and welcome to the Men's Room Podcast. Yes. You lovely, lovely people. It's me, Tom Skinner.
Is that your saying, you lovely, lovely people?
I just always said
you nicked that off someone, because it's quite, you know.
No, I've always said it.
You've always said it?
Normally I say you ugly, ugly people.
Yeah, that's when
depends
you're
what, depends what market I'm working. And of course, you've already heard him. It's me, Tom Skinner, and the man, the myth, the legend, the world famous Mr. Neil.
World famous?
You are world famous.
I think I am, yeah.
Mr. Neil.
I'm massive in Thailand.
Massive in Thailand.
That's worldwide.
You're massive in here as well, mate.
I'm massive in here, massive everywhere.
It's just like West Ham. Yeah, bosh. Now, if you've never listened before, firstly, thank you for tuning in. On this podcast, we aim to break down the barriers by talking about all things men's mental health. Ain't that right, Razor?
That is right. Spot on, mate. And on that note, we last recorded one of these back in mid-May. How you been?
You've been all right, really.
Do you know, I'm thinking, if Saudi Arabia wanted market traders, I think they'd get you. I'm just market trading. Because you are a world-famous market trader. I mean, they get all the boxes, don't they? They're getting the football now. When they go into markets, would you sell up and go?
Do you know, I think...
Would you sell yourself to the Saudis market trading?
I'll be out in Saudi, like, what, standing on a stall in tea towels, free for a pound. Come on, you lovely Saudis, free for a pound.
I think you can get free for £2 out there.
I think you get free for a grand out there, mate.
I'm telling you. I think it's written all over. Written all over
it's
you.
It's a false economy.
Bosh market traders... Peckham, right. New York,
yeah.
Brentwood, and Riyadh.
We've cracked it.
Riyadh or Riyadh?
we've cracked it in England. Now we're going to crack it in Saudi Arabia.
Well, so how have you been, mate? You've been good over
Yeah, I've been good, mate. Been really, really good. Been busy as always.
Yeah.
But having a go. How have you been?
I've been very good, mate. I've been speaking. I've been all over the place. Got golf's out now. Weather's back in it.
Playing golf? Are you not coming to party then?
But the bus and golf's out. Golf's back out now. The sun's out. Golf is out. Got the party.
Yeah.
Saturday, twins party. Round yours, I see you cleaning the garden with the wash white thing. What's it called?
Do you know what? Listen, what a div. I had my Uncle Alan and my mate Colin come round to help me. I should have just paid someone to do it.
Yeah, he's on. Because I've done that with a patio, right? You know, that's what's it called? The thingies. What's it?
Yeah, the
squirty thing.
Jet wash.
Jet wash, that's him. I'm
Jet bosh.
Very good. Jet bosh. It's good fun at the start, isn't it? Isn't it hard work?
My garden ain't even that big, yeah? And I spent from 8.30 in the morning till 7 o'clock last night, and it looks worse.
But it sprays everywhere, gets all the weeds dirty.
I'm stupid, yeah?
No.
I am, because in the garden I've got like flower beds, and all the mud from the flower beds is now on the grass and
that's
the pavement.
What I mean. They're powerful and it just sprays everything, gets everything else done.
And then I just got bored, so I was spraying on my mates.
Yeah, and getting a fight with me.
Yeah, and then...
Well, you did look nice in your shorts.
Top off. Took off me Bosch top.
Nice touch.
Right. I think you lovely lot have heard enough of us talking absolute bollocks in our personal lives. So let's crack on with the podcast, shall we?
Yes, let's do this.
Now, we are back for a third season. And me and you...
You and I. How would you say it? What's the right English, proper English?
You and I, together.
You and I we've got.
Thank you. they've got us back. You know what I mean? I don't know how. Honestly, I don't know how.
To some lovely listeners, we must be doing something right.
Do you reckon?
I think so.
Do you know what? To be fair, actually, on the market on Saturday, Geezer come up to me and he said, absolutely loves the podcast.
There you
swear.
Go.
He said,
that's
he
one.
Said,
we've got
and
one.
He said he's done them all. He said, when are more coming out? So, my people, I must be listening.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Beautiful stuff.
But yeah, and since I last recorded, I've been missing your voice so much, Razor.
I know, because you never pick up your phone.
Well, you never ring me.
I know, because you never pick up your phone. It's quite simple.
So, you know what I thought we'd do?
Go on.
I thought we'd look back at the last two seasons, have a little listen, and let's pick some of our favourite moments.
Yeah.
Should we do that?
What was your favourite moment?
Oh, I don't know. I think the one I want to kick off is obviously the knife crime campaign. You know, when we spoke on that nice lad, Gideon.
He was a lovely lad.
We were joined by the founder of our Painter Power, Gideon, who revealed some shocking things he's found out during his work against knife crime.
I've had a seven-year-old boy who says that he sleeps with a knife under his bed because he's in fear of his life. Yeah, 7 years old. He's in fear of his life, 7 years old. And then we've got these adults that are targeting nine-year-olds to get them to, you know, sell drugs. County lines travel to all across the country to sell drugs. It's crazy right now.
Jeez.
How long has this
been going on?
I think it's been going on forever.
Why haven't no one known?
Let me tell you what's happened. It's always gone on, right? But it's getting worse and on the rise now because money, it doesn't go as far as what it used to, yeah? People are starving in the state. They're fucking starving, amazing, right? And people are recruiting young kids because they ain't got time, fuck all. That's the truth of it, mate.
It's getting younger and younger. Yeah, you used to be a 17-year-old, 16, 15, no. Yeah.
Mate, you know what I mean? And they're getting kids to do the dirty work, getting money.
Do you know what? I thought I was streetwise and that has shocked me.
No.
How can you get out? Once you're in...
It's super hard, but what I've seen in my experience is that you need the right support system and they need the right people to actually get them out with handheld support.
This will shock you, yeah? Even at where you are, right? Drive past your local school, about midday or just after they've all gone in and look at the bush and you'll see bottles of Lucozade everywhere. They're full of blades, mate. Kids are putting their knives in bottles. I've been with the police, I've done the campaigns, I've gone to the schools, mate. Like, kids as young as 11 years old are going to school with knives and now they're getting metal detected. They're putting them in Lucozade bottles and leaving them in the bushes, mate.
I remember on that podcast, you was quite outspoken about Sadiq Khan, weren't you? And his lack of initiative. Now he's got is it a second term? Third term, isn't he? Is he? Mayor of London. Been voted back in. Where'd you stand on that? Come on, let's get
mate,
into it.
Mate, listen.
Because also, you've already pricked him off.
Yeah, it's pricked.
What do you think now? Now he's back in.
Sadiq Khan, is several things. One of them, London is dying, not just about knife crime, but about the retail sector.
Yeah.
Now, what he's doing is he's shutting all the roads down, blocking all the roads, putting in those, and I'm all for going green, supporting cyclists, but knocking down roads and taking away parking bays where retails, independent shops, the backbone of the UK economy are, these independent coffee shops, these little clothes shops, they're struggling, they're stolen because they haven't got the pass-through trade, they haven't got the cars parking, and they're losing money. Now, their taxes are what pay for our NHS, what pay for our streets to be clean, what pay for potholes. Now, if we lose it, the biggest bringer of money in the UK, London, which is what he's killing slowly and surely,
what happens when we all got paid for, listen, we're all right, some people are fortunate they can pay for healthcare, but majority can't, mate. Do you know what I mean? And that's one thing. Second thing that I'm worried about, he's doing nothing for the youth, he's more interested in taxing the working class, in people getting their cars that are 12 to 10 years old because they can't afford new ones, yet they're only going to work, and yet they've got to pay the ULEZ fine, yet all the people that can afford new cars haven't got to pay it. We live in a scary time, well, I do honestly, and I'm not talking about conspiracy theories, but I do feel like they're trying to break us down. I do see it. Like they don't want entrepreneurs and independent companies. They want it all to be under one hat, one corporation, and I think that's what they're doing, and it's slowly happening, mate. Like, it's scary what's happening in the UK right now.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say a nice thing about it.
No. Look, there's so many, and it's normally single-parent families, it's normally kids that are around 8 to 14, and they're carrying knives, and there's not nothing that the state can't do for them. They've shutting down on the youth clubs, they're not funding gyms. Like, people going, oh, yeah, there's a bit of funding. There ain't enough, We need to focus on our future. These kids are our future. These kids are what are going to drive us, look after us, build our economy. You know, they're becoming doctors, get jobs. Yet if they're dying on the streets and they're turning to knife crime and turning to drugs, where's our future going to be? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what we need to look after these kids, and that's what I feel that personally Steve Card isn't doing. You need a proper Londoner, who is there, has been there, who knows what it's not like not to be have rent at the end of the month, who knows what it's like to struggle, who knows what it's like to be involved in this, and can actually walk around London and do something for the better for these kids. And I don't think he's the man personally.
Basically, he ain't got no arsehole, is he?
Nah, I'll do the job.
You'll do it. Oh, you'll be a great London mayor, wouldn't you?
I'll be mayor of London.
Bosh.
The Bosh Party.
You'd have to wear a suit every day.
I wouldn't wear a suit.
What you'd be in your trainers?
You know what I'm like?
Reebok classics.
Matching socks always. Bosh. And just a tracksuit.
That's it. White socks and sliders. You'd be in, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think you'd be in. I think we should get Sadiq Khan on our podcast.
Yeah, but listen, I've absolutely slated him so much, he's probably going to kill me.
No, if he tried to do you, he'd miss, wouldn't he? He'd fuck that up as well, wouldn't he?
He'd probably just find me for saying. Yeah.
He'd be outside your house now, but ULEZ thing right outside.
Yeah, you got four vans. What? They're all new. Yeah, well, I'm going to find you four.
New vans now. You have to pay ULEZ on new vans now. That's what
it's called. ULEZ.
No, we do ULEZ on market stalls.
Yeah.
How big's your market stall?
45 foot long.
Yeah, over 40 foot, you'll fuck me. Anyway, what we got? What other people? What about Arge?
Arge. Oh, he's singing at the party, isn't he?
I know, Arge band. Well, that's one of the big things that come out of podcasts. Well, the main thing that come out of the podcast was when I see Arge and he had his gastric sleeve, made me have my gastric sleeve, so it was a big influence on me.
Let's hear from Arge now, talking about the times when he replaced all the drugs that he had with food and ended up ballooning up to an uncontrollable weight, at which point decided that he needed to get a gastric sleeve surgery.
I was 27 stone. I'm just under 14, so I've lost just over 13 stone.
I've done overnight.
So you've lost yourself, basically?
Yeah.
He lost himself a few times. I've done 9 stone, but you know, without him, I wouldn't have had this.
No, stone. Well done.
So, cheers.
So he's inspiration to most people.
It's honestly the best thing I've ever done in my life, the best decision I've ever made.
And me.
Since I was a teenager, I always struggled with an eating disorder, and I'd be forever yo-yo dieting, so I could be 1 year slim, 1 year obese, 1 year slim, and it was constantly up and down for many, many years, and it wasn't until COVID lockdown hit, that's when I took it to the next level, where I took the piss and I went up to like 27 stone. It got to a point my mum would come round and she got upset, like, I don't recognise my son anymore.
Yeah.
So I knew.
Did it hurt to walk upstairs and things
like
that?
Yeah, it was just, I couldn't tie my own shoelaces.
Yeah.
I was having to wear slip-on shoes, or I was having to ask my mates and my family to do me shoelaces.
Yeah. You can't reach with a derby, you can't get down there to actually reach. And you have to wipe your bum backwards. Couldn't get your.
What do you mean?
You can't get, because the gap there, because you're so fat, you can't get your hand in there to wipe your arse. You had to go backwards and wipe your arse.
I couldn't see me, Corey.
No.
For a long time.
Didn't see it. Still see it now, or?
Just about. Just about. So, it got to a point where I was like, right, you know what? I can't go through this anymore.
Yeah.
And it went so far that I thought, I can't do it by myself. So I want to do something that's long-term, that's going to really help me. So I got the gastric sleeve, and it was the best thing I ever did. You know, people turn around and say, you know, is it a cheat? Or, you know, you're cheating.
I get that people say cheated. And we cheated death. It was a great story. Really sad story, what he told us, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, got some dark places.
Went some dark places, but he got himself out of it. That's the main thing. And, you know, as I say, the inspiration he was to me to get my nut down and have me have the operation is amazing.
I'm going to get in a deep one here.
Go on.
If you didn't have that done...
I wouldn't be out, I don't think.
Fucking hell.
Well, he gave me 2 months. The doctor, the heart surgeon, gave me 2 months. I went, well, that to basically stop me out and restart me up. He was beating at 140 beats a minute. And that was like you doing a marathon. That was me just sitting down.
How scary is that?
Very scary. But I didn't know at the time. I just thought that's how people art was. That's how you lived. I looked at myself, thought it looked all right. I looked myself in pictures back then and think, fucking hell.
You was big, mate.
Massive. Massive. But I'd say Arge was the sort of thing that gave me the kick up the arse to get it done. So we wouldn't be doing a podcast. I wouldn't have made you as famous as you are now.
I know, mate, without you, I'd be nothing.
You'd be, honestly, you'd be working in a kebab stall down King's Road.
Not wrong with it. Not wrong with
kebab stall. They do kebab stalls.
They wouldn't even let me in there with the kebabs, Max. I'd eat them all.
You would eat them all.
I'll be out
of the back. What do you eat? What do you eat, Mark? Because, see, in the morning, it's like dinner time, too. That's why you're in Dino's Caf. Like, yeah. Every morning at 7:30, having, like, a curry and that thing. How the fuck?
Well, because it's your night time, isn't it? But I start work at 3:00, so, like, everyone goes to me, oh, look, he's having Singapore noodles with he's having those spicy Korean noodles with a chicken breast and a poached eggs. And I go, full of Tabasco sauce. And I go, I know, but, like, it's 6 a.m, I've been working for 3 hours. Like, so it's more like a lunchtime for me.
Yeah.
And when, like, where we're loading up, like, especially in my yard, yeah, when we send out all the mattresses and the beds and that, like, I probably unloaded 2 lorries in the morning already that are going up north, so they want to leave early.
Yeah.
So, like, mate, I'm starving, do you know what I mean? I've done a bit of...
Talking about mattresses, how long am I on my mattress now? How long did you give me that one?
That's going to be 4 years ago, you know that?
When did you need a new mattress?
Oh, do you know
how long they last?
Do you need a new one?
I don't know, how long they last?
Well, look, they say you should change it every 8 years, really between 5 and 6.
So I've got another year to
go. It's another year,
just
innit?
Just keep a good one. Keep an eye on when a good one comes in.
Mate,
keep
you
an
know
eye.
I look after
keep
you.
Keep a
know
good
that.
One for me. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Gambling. Let's talk about gambling. Mate, my favourite one we've done, Matty Everingham. You know, I love him, don't I?
Oh, you was all over him like beans on toast.
I love him.
You would not leave him alone. His story was unbelievable.
He got in some serious trouble, didn't he, gambling? And the one that hit on me was the Romford Dogs.
I had some nasty people wanting their money, and when I didn't have it, they were threatening. That's the bottom line of it.
And they was West. Were they West Ham fans?
Some of them were West Ham fans. Yeah. Like, there's one story: the Dogs at Romford one night, and I probably went there with 10, 15 grand cash.
Yeah.
Done it all. Last race, I'm thinking. I need to get this money back.
Yeah.
So track one, 6-4 favourite. I went, can I have a bit on credit to the bookie? I said, I'll have 8 grand on track one. He goes, yeah, no problem. He goes, I said, I've got it in the car. I'll go and get it after the race. He goes, yeah, no problem, Matthew. No problem whatsoever. Anyway, track one's come out. It's fell on its nose. Done. Beat. I've legged it out of the Dogs. I remember looking back. He was never going to catch me. And he's going, Matty, where's my money? He ended up turning up at the training ground on the Monday.
No.
He did at Chevrolet Leaf and going, right, where's my 8 grand? And I went to the fella that was on the gate, said, just ignore him, I don't owe him 8 grand. But I obviously had to give it to him, but there was no rules in me. I was just any means to have a bet.
So you've trained, are you looking
over? Yeah, all over the place, yeah.
Was it affecting your football as well?
It did towards the back end of my time at West Ham, definitely. I didn't play anywhere near to the level that I played at my first 3 or 4 years. I was in a lot of debt, and we're talking £1-2 million. And I had 5 grand left in my bank account. Turn that 5 grand within the space of a week into 540 grand. Any rational man would think, right, that's a good chunk of that debt paid off. But what I did is, and the way a gambler's mind thinks is, I give him 140, and I thought, right, I can turn this 400 grand into 1 million, 2 million, whatever that may be. Within the week that I made that 540 grand, I'd done the 400 grand back. And that's when you know you've got an issue.
Talk about addiction here, yeah?
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I work my bollocks off 7 days a week is because I've got an addictive personality, yeah?
Yeah.
If I didn't go to work 3 a.m, I could quite easily sit in the pub every single day.
Yeah.
But I don't. I keep myself busy, yeah? But I've never been addicted to anything. I've never had that.
Addicted to working.
Yeah, but that's what I've become. But I look at the likes of Arge. I look at the likes of, you know, I remember Stephen Calker. I look at the likes of obviously Matty Everington. Like, all the guests who had over the years, like, they've all got one thing in common, yeah? They've all gone so low and hit it, yet they've all bounced back.
Yeah.
And I think anyone listening to this podcast, like, even if you're right in a bad place at the minute, like, it does get better. Yeah, you know what I mean?
But you've got to take your own responsibility, haven't you? You've got to own up yourself.
Of course, you've got to say, I've made a mistake.
They will become the biggest liars in the world, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they just lie and lie and lie and lie and, you know, say the end, but it's got to be you at the end of the day. But they're success stories, you know, so, I mean, hopefully people listen to this get better, you know. A kick up the arse like I did from Big Arch. Well, Little Arch now.
Skinny Arge.
Skinny Arge. Like a fucking racist snake now, really.
God, I reckon him and Jimmy Collins smashed a few beds up together, didn't they? when they was at the yacht.
Oh, I'm telling you. That'd have been a sight.
They'd have been my best customer, wouldn't they? We've done it. I just got on top. We've broken up a bed. You're listening to the Men's Room Podcast with TalkSport. I'm Tom Skinner. Alongside me over there is the absolute legend, Mr. Neil Razor Ruddock.
I was still gambling, still trying to stop the gambling, drinking heavy, the blackouts were getting worse. I was waking up in police cells, I was waking up in hospital beds. I've got the newspapers running stories that I don't even know. You know, I couldn't even tell you what happened the night before.
Yeah, you can't deny it.
I can't deny it. I don't even know it. I don't even know that I've stood in front of judges at courts, not know what I'm there for.
You get a lot of money young. Experience is wasted on old people. But when you're young and got a few bob, you think you're invincible. All of a sudden you get people wrapped around you, the wrong people wrapped around you. If you come to London, I think that would be a massive sort of no-no, you know, as a youngster. If you're trying to be a professional footballer and behave yourself and be disciplined, I think London, the lights, the city lights, bright lights of London, it's appalling, isn't it?
What about Spence Oliver? Mate, what powerful podcast that was.
Yeah.
I didn't realise how bad it was until he told me. Like.
Well, I remember it happening. I thought he died in the ring. Very powerful message as well.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by the brand new film, Marching Powder. If you like comedy, football, banter, brawls, and Danny Dyer, then Marching Powder should be the absolute top of your watch list when it lands only in cinemas on March the 7th. Directed by the acclaimed Nick Love, from Football Factory fame, Dyer stars as Jack, an aging football hooligan who is trying to juggle his marriage, his mate, his drug addiction, and the pull of his gang of fellow football fans. I've seen the trailer, guys. It looks absolutely brilliant. It's given me a proper nostalgia from football in the 90s and noughties. And I mean, I just love Danny Dyer. This is definitely not one to be missed, so make sure you get your mates together, get your tickets, and go and see it on March the 7th. Marching Powder, a rom-com with a kick, only in cinemas, March 7th.
Hey, buddy, want to go to the dog park? Go with Simparica Trio. It's triple protection made simple. Simparica Trio is the first monthly chewable that covers heartworm disease, ticks and fleas, round and hookworms. This drug class has been associated with neurologic adverse reactions, including seizures. Use with caution in dogs with a history of these disorders. Be sure to tap to read the full prescribing information. Protect him with all your heart. Ask your veterinarian about Simparica Trio. Tap or visit SimparicaTrio.com to learn more.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Sign up for Greenlight today at greenlight.com/podcast.
Who are we going on to now?
Stephen Colker. He was on a Men's Room podcast discussing his battles with depression and addiction. He began by telling us what his lowest point of his career was.
Probably when I left QPR. I spent 6 months at Dundee, which was great. I really enjoyed that. I just enjoyed being away from London, being away from the madness here. I mean, the madness followed me as it does. You know, I used to think that I could escape my problems. I can't. Wherever I go, my head goes with me, right? Yeah. So I took those to Dundee, but it was away from the pressure cooker, right? So it was a lot more fun, a lot more relaxed. But I then spent 6 months out of football, and that for me was a dark time. That was a period where not earning any money, I was still gambling, still trying to stop the gambling. I was drinking heavy, the blackouts were getting worse. Waking up, I was waking up in police cells, I was waking up in hospital beds. got the newspapers running stories that I don't even know. You know, I couldn't even tell you what happened the night before.
Yeah, you can't deny it.
I can't deny it. I don't even know it. I don't even know that I've stood in front of the judges at courts, not know what I'm there for. Well, it was escape for me. I was feeling depressed. I was anxious. I obviously feeling sick over the money that I'd lost, the career that I'd given away, the opportunities I'd blown. Yeah. And it was like, let me just block this out. And then the Sambuca was the quickest way to do that.
Yeah.
So I was like knocking back Sambucas. I'll drink anything. You know, I would drink anything. Yeah. And then I said that feeling of anxiety the next day was so overwhelming. Like I still can't explain it. You know, unless you've lived it, you just don't know it, right? And that was the period for me where I was like, right, I need to get help now because. Yeah. I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a friend, I'm a brother. Yeah. All those, so I've got a lot of responsibilities in life. And I need to do it, if not for me, for them. And that was my first step. And then gradually started to love myself again and was able to want to do it for me.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually. Distractions, like when you're playing at like London clubs or Liverpool, was the distraction hard?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you get a lot of money young. You know, and sort of experience is based on old people. But when you're young and got a few bob, you think you're invincible. You know, you're easily led and you're getting all some birds and birds want you because you're a footballer, you got a few bob and all of a sudden you get people wrapped round you, the wrong people wrapped round you. You know, especially if you come to London, I think that would be a massive sort of no-no, you know, as a youngster. If you're trying to be a professional footballer and behave yourself and be disciplined, I think London, the lights, the city lights, bright lights of London, it's a poor, isn't it?
Josh the Tourette's Barber.
Mate, Josh, that was... now, that was my favourite podcast, that one. When he went to me, I want to fuck your mum. I said, hello, Josh. First time I met him, he went, I want to fuck your mum.
Okay. What was he saying? David Seaman.
David Seaman.
fuck you. Hiya. David Seaman.
But the thing... I know we're laughing, but we did ask, can we laugh? He says, yeah, I don't mind people laugh.
He said even he laughs at them sometimes.
He laughs at them. But he has to carry a card, doesn't he, around the Tourette's guard because he just abuses police and things. Can you smell poke offers out and things like that?
Oh, it's fucking...
So, yes, when the police try and come up, he shows them Tourette's guard.
The hard stuff was, like, I said racist things, which is something that obviously I'm not racist, but that's one of the hardest things that it's quite hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying feel sorry for me. But, I've said, I'm trying not to think about it too much now, just in case. But, yeah, I'm trying not to say the N-word, or I've even said, like, racial things towards, like, Asian people. And I've been in some really, some really sticky situations in that respect. Right. Trying to make people understand.
It must be difficult, mustn't it? Like, yeah.
Well, imagine walking around some areas of London on your own at night, and which I don't do as much now because I've just got to the point where I'm like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
But either, I went to a Christmas do up in Chelsea, and I didn't realise that day was when Chelsea were fucking playing. Up the fucking Chelsea cunts. I'm not even a massive football fan. I kept shouting at the police because they were standing there with their meat wagons and that, and I keep shouting pigs or bacon or whatever. sizzling
nicked?
Bacon.
Have you been nicked?
I've never been officially nicked, no. I've been put in the back of a car once or twice, but like, what, even I do have a card that says I have Tourette's officially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
with
answer.
ID on. Yeah,
you have to have that.
You kind of have to. If anyone with Tourette's out there is watching, you should go out and do that because it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, of course.
You sat in the barber's chair afterwards, didn't
yes.
you? How bad were his ticks? Were you worried that he was going to...
Well, he got the wet shave. He got the proper blade out, didn't he? The razor. And he's trying to... Thomas is trying to make him... But he says for some reason when he's really... He doesn't tick and like jump. But he's got proper... I'm having a wet shave and he's taking the piss out of him. Yeah, so he was shaving me. Thomas was trying to make him tick and that. But for some reason...
I wanted to cut him in a finger.
When I was listening and watching on YouTube, that's what I was worried about. I was worried that...
You were worried?
Yeah.
What about
for
me?
For you, no. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Because those cutthroats are sharp, right?
Mate!
Yeah. Even though it weren't the first one that came out, it was actually the first one that me and him recorded together, yeah?
Right.
And I was thinking, please, just cut him. It was so, the first one we've done, it was
so
funny.
So you can get his fee?
Oh, yeah.
What about Spence Oliver?
Yes, that's another one, Spenny.
Mate, what part of a podcast that was.
Yeah, mate, to be fair, it's you know, because you see him as the same we've been saying earlier, you see him, but you see Spenno, he is life and soul of the party, isn't he? You know, lovely lad, Lots of few Arthur Sanders with the boys, but his story, that was powerful. And he was in tears as well.
I was at that stage in my life where I needed to move up in weight. It was like, right, get this kid out of the way, then we box for the world title, then we go... Move up.
Then get my apartment. Get me an apartment in Tenerife.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah, no sheepskin.
Exactly that, yeah, mate. Go and visit. Yeah, exactly. So I'm going into the fight, and I'm really struggling to make the weight. And we get to the weigh-in. The day of the weigh-in. Now you're going to say to me, like, you know, how'd that go? And I'll go, like, I remember being down at the gym, skipping the weight off in the morning, but the weigh-in used to be at 6 p.m. at night then, so you had to go, so I hadn't eaten anything anyway, and you had to go all day. And I tell you, like, after you, when you're dry, it's hard. And we get to the weigh-in, do the weigh-in, get off the scales, and then I remember waking up in a hospital bed two and a half, three weeks later. That's what I remember. Yeah, wow. As mad as that.
So, watching the fight, what happened?
Yeah, so what happened, Race, was right. So I remember being on the scales. Then, I don't know if I'm piecing this together in my mind after watching it, or whether I go, yeah, because I've got little flashbacks of it. Yeah. I remember, so I told you I'm scared of heights, right? Yeah. So in the Royal Albert Hall, they had this big, like, because it was the big homecoming, but boxing hadn't been in the Royal Albert Hall for years and everything else. I had the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra singing me in, doing the Omen music, so that was my boxing name. And they had me coming up on a crane, they lifted me up on a crane as they were singing, and it would go to the top of the Albert Hall, and I'm standing there. There's two things that stand out for me. One was, I remember coming up on this crane and thinking, this is high, because I didn't know, because we'd done rehearsals, but obviously without the crane. So I'm coming up and the music's going, and as I've done this, I felt the crane go. So as you see me, if you watch the fight back, I'm standing there like that.
He's turning to an angel.
What's that coming out the bottom of his shorts?
I remember that happening, but it was so long, I didn't realise how bad it was until he told me.
Well, I remember it happening, I thought he died in the ring.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching the fight, and then, you know, he was in the ring, and they was all, you know, around him, and... very powerful message as well, because that's another dangerous sport.
One of my favourite people in the world, your mate, Dom.
Oh, Dominic Mathew. I told you, when you first met him, I said, in 2 hours, time, he's one of your favourite people in the world, isn't he? I mean, he was a cancer on the brain. He was carrying it around since, was it six or something? He didn't realise, went all through them years, playing for Scotland, Leeds captain, Liverpool, Stoke. And then he was doing some commentary, and he just went blind. Just couldn't see anything. And his sight come back, and he got rushed to hospital. And he was lucky enough that someone was there that knew what he was talking about, and it saved his life.
But how funny is he as well? Like, I know, what he went through is unbelievable, but he can't read and write anymore because of the surgery.
He can't read and write now.
So how mad, he used to be able to read and write.
Yeah, yeah. No, good. He was my little drinking partner in Liverpool. I took him under his wing. When he passed his test, I bought him an Audi. He was my little mate. So I took him out to drink and created a monster. But we go racing, he can't read and write. So I used to give him the program. So pick us an horse and say, shut up, dickhead.
Well, because after the... we filmed a podcast, me and him swapped numbers, yeah. He said, give us a ring anytime, and have a beer if you're up my way. I went, it will do. He sent me a voice note in the evening saying, Tom, it's lovely to meet you. Like, I had a great time with me, you and Razor. Like, I'm looking forward to next time. And I sent him a text back going, lovely to meet you too, mate. Obviously, he can't fucking read it, can he?
you got voice messaging.
Oh, no, I forgot.
I dropped man in these, you know, he's lucky to be alive, we love seeing him. I told you'd love him. What about Jay Boothroyd? That was an amazing story.
Epilepsy, mate.
And he kept it quiet for all them years.
There was times, and I mentioned it recently, we played against Arsenal, and I wanted to play badly because it's my team. You know, I grew up there. Mm. And I had a seizure like the day before. And I remember I woke up in the morning, I was feeling awful, man. I was like, I was out of it still, but I got to the point where I knew I had a game that night.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I want to play in it. I played in the game. By all accounts, I did all right, but I can't remember the game. I can't remember the game at all.
He's had a few games like that.
No, he's had a few games. I do remember every one, but there's a couple I wanted to forget. And the fans, they couldn't forget them.
No, so it was difficult, you know. And even, you know, in that particular game, I swapped my shirt with a few players as well. I don't remember. I just got the shirts at home. I got the shirts home, but I don't remember. And it's like, it is when I think back now, like, it's not the way to manage it. But I felt at that particular time, you know, with all, even with all these mental health issues now, like, for me personally,
that made you
I felt like it was weakness if I came out and said something.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, especially with the older pros, they'd be like, oh, shut up.
Oh, can you imagine the dressing room? Grab, run it off.
Exactly, and that's what it was. That's why I was like, man, I can't say enough. I need to keep this to myself.
Now, Raze, there's a reason I saved that clip till last, because of the last sentence there. Jay said it felt like a weakness by talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's the other reason why I did this podcast, isn't it?
That's why. That's why we want people to talk. We want to get the message out there. And I think we've done a good job. Do you know what I mean? We've come into this podcast blind, didn't we? Mm. We didn't really know the problems. We had a little bit about the people we met on this podcast and their problems. But when you actually get them in front of you, you don't realise how bad it is and how, you know, sort of embarrassed they were at the time. And the greatest thing, they've come through the other side. They're not embarrassed now, but they were embarrassed at the time.
But it also shows you that the superstars, the people that we look up to, have the same problems. And I think it just makes it so important to just talk to someone.
Yes, it's good to talk.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Men's Room Podcast. Now, if you've been affected by any issues that we've spoken about, remember, there's always support for you. Call the Calm Helpline on 0800 58 58 58 365 days a year. And remember, mental health struggles are not always obvious. So always make sure, check in on your pals. Give them a call, give them a text. How you doing, Maisie? You all right?
You lovely, lovely people.
And that is the Men's Room Podcast on TalkSport with me, Tom Skinner, and the man, the myth, the legend, my favourite person at TalkSport, Mr. Razor Ruddock. And we are back again next week, as always. So spread the love, give us a like, give us a share, subscribe, watch the podcast, listen to the podcast.
Abash.
Abash.
Earlier on, I mentioned that today's episode is sponsored by Marching Powder, the new all-action-packed big-screen comedy starring Danny Dyer. And guys, I genuinely believe this could be one of my top films of this year. It has got absolutely everything I love when I go to the cinema. Comedy, action, and even a cheeky bit of romance. For any fans of The Football Factory, I'm sure you'll agree, it's also nice to see Danny Dyer reunited with director Nick Love as they work their magic together once again. I cannot wait to see Dyer as Jack in the film. Anything bold, cheeky and outrageous is always getting my attention. Don't miss out, guys. Why not go with your mates or make a date? Whatever floats your boat. But either way, make sure you get your tickets to Marching Powder. Only in cinemas, March 7th.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Sign up for Greenlight today at greenlight.com/podcast.